Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I was going to do a Halloween pun.
And then you really, really pussied out.
What would you have done?
I said ghouls and boils. I thought that was pretty good. But then I got worried that it was too gender specific boils. For 2018. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Happy Halloween, shitheads. Welcome to a Halloween episode of Serious Issues. It's a very special time. We have a special guest. My name is Andrew Levins.
My name is Siobhan Coombs.
What about Siobhan? I'm just not good at puns.
Siobhan Booze. Boo, like a ghost. Boo.
Perfect. All right, cool.
That's terrible, but I'm into it.
And joining us today is a very special guest, a writer friend of ours whose comics we have spoken about on the podcast before. Joining us for the first time is Andrew Constant.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Hello, Levins. Hello, Sean. Hello, everyone.
Her name's Booze now.
Booze? I can't call you Booze. It sounds so much like booze, as in drinking, and now I just want to have a drink. Not that I encourage drinking, but digressions abound.
But Andrew has been featured on the podcast in when we've been reviewing most recently Demon Hell on Earth.
Hell is Earth.
Close, yeah. That's my own fault because I said, oh, why don't you call it Hell is Earth? That's a nice pun. Everyone goes, so it's Hell on Earth? I go, yeah, okay, sure. That's my fault.
That was a book that you did for DC, a six-issue miniseries over the course of last year and this year with Brad Walker on art.
Brad Walker, who did an extraordinary job on art, who just knocked it out of the park.
And of course, that was a book featuring Etrigan the Demon.
One of my favorite characters of all time. Love
Is
that
he?
Psych. Oh, I love him. I adore that character. He's one of my top five DC characters of all time.
Name him now.
Okay. Batman, John Constantine, Etrigan. Johnny Mahak, Hitman, I can't pronounce the last name. And, there's one more, Chip of the Tongue. Oh, what is it? Help me out. I'll just say Swamp Thing. There's been a lot of Swamp Thing right now. It's a horror episode, and he's creepy as fuck.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about, I guess, you writing Etrigan, your introduction to the character.
Yep.
The first time you ever saw him show up, and what we think, if we think he works as a... as a horror character or as a comedic character more? Because I feel like those are the two routes that people take.
Right. I actually think Etrigan... do you want me to start where I read him first?
Or go for it.
Okay, cool. I picked up... Everyone starts... Most people who enjoy Etrigan start off with Jack Kirby, right? That's just the deal. Like, he did such a great job. It's a great character. It's great art. He's got like a primal... It's like he's basically what he breathes. He's like fire. He's just in the scene. He's just... takes the whole page, incredible character. But I came to him through the Garth Ennis run. When he did The Demon, I picked up a random issue because I was young and, you know, you just pick up, what's this? Newsagent. Oh, random issue. Cool.
And this is it's running consecutively to Preacher coming out, right? Isn't it? Or is it just
I'm not sure. I think it's just before Preacher. It's before Preacher.
So Garth Ennis is like a teenager at this point when he's
Garth Ennis wrote Hellblazer when he was 21. I want to punch him so hard.
And it's like still regarded as the best Constantine story as well.
Speaking about horror, the Dangerous Habit storyline. I was a smoker when that came out. And I couldn't read it because I was like, oh, no, I'm going to die. It's going to be the worst time of my life. So
all you have to do is trick the devil and you're fine.
Oh, yeah, I'm so good at lying. That's going to work out really well for me. So what were we saying? Digression Club? We were talking about the first time I saw Etrigan, right?
Yeah, well, the first character. You were talking about Garth Ennis' run.
Yeah, yeah.
On the demon in the 90s.
What is... I've never read it. What is his take on the demon like?
Just insane. It's just...
Everyone gets their dicks out. No. I'm trying to think of Garth Ennis comics. Wow. Does something horrible.
Wow. Yeah.
No, it's actually...
Eats a poo.
It's actually... You've both read the Hitman... The snort is...
I've read bits and pieces of Hitman, but I haven't read the whole thing.
Hitman's an incredible comic book. It's amazing. And it's got a similar tone to that. That it's grimy and horrible things, but has a really good sense of comedy as well.
Yeah. And there's a sweetness to it. That's what makes Hitman good.
Like, sweetness. I think you put that in quotation marks, like a sweetness to
but
it.
But there's that great, you know, that great issue towards the end with Superman in it, which is like one of my favorite Superman stories. And it's like, you know, you would never expect Garth Ennis to write a really sweet Superman story, but that's what he always does.
Like, he always finishes something up with like something really like saccharine. I don't like Garth Ennis.
No.
So that you, for some reason, think that he's a good guy after he's done 10 issues of people eating each other's. I can't think of anything.
I love everything Garth Ennis does, almost without exception. And I think there's a kindness to Garth's work. I think it's underrated. Like, there's a real humanity to a lot of the writing he does, basically. I saw him, and that was also in the Etrigan run as well. But Etrigan, as a comic book, when Garth did it, was just mental. Like, he did every crazy thing he could. Like, he had a tank issue. He had Clarion dropping a nuclear bomb. It was just nuts. Oh. And who was it? It was McCrae on art who did it and made the demon like this almost this serpentine angular creature, which was also incredible as well. But it was a great run, and that's where I came to it. And I just thought, who is this crazy motherfucking sociopath? Those are my thoughts as a young man. Those are my words.
Towards Etrigan or towards Garth Ennis?
Towards Etrigan Smarty.
Yeah, sure.
I loved it. And then I saw him, and I didn't pick him up for years. Just later, and then I saw him again in Hitman when there was the Ace of Killers run.
Yep.
And that was just fucking cool. Like, you know, he is a really good character. Like, he's like a piece of dynamite in every scene. He'll just blow it up and weird shit will happen. It's, great.
Do you like it when he's written comedically or as a kind of actual demon?
I think, like all good characters, he's very versatile in that regard. Like Batman, like Superman, it's not so much what's the best style from it, it's what's the best writing he can do, because you know he's a demon. He's the cheeky guy in the room. He's like the Dexter in so far as he can be the gorgeous sociopath in all, not the gorgeous sociopath. He can be the sociopath which we all can give license to.
Give it to him. He's gorgeous.
No. James Blood's a handsome man.
Yeah.
Wait, is that it, James?
Yeah. No.
James Blood.
Jason Blood. James Blunt.
But you've got
James Blunt's a handsome man. I'm having my own podcast.
Can you imagine if James Blunt played like Jason Blood? It would be the worst film of all time. Not saying that James Blunt's a terrible person.
He can rhyme, though.
What?
Yeah, true.
But that's the wrong character. Like, you know. What were we saying again?
We're talking about Etrigan. I mean, for those who aren't familiar with Etrigan, the demon, he is a demon from hell who is connected to Earthman, Jason Blood.
Earthman.
A regular Joe.
Regular old,
regular Jace.
Super wealthy occultist. Isn't that sort of what Jason Blood is?
Yeah, like, you know, I ran him after the Demon Knights run, so he's more of a vessel for holding Etrigan back, basically. But traditionally, he's like this James Bond-like, super wealthy, arrogant occultist, which I'd like to be able to relate to some of that. But
regular Joe.
Regular Joe, yeah. Really appeals to Common Man, like Spider-Man.
Etrigan can take over Jason Blood's body and become a big... Okay, sorry. What are they swap places?
Yeah, they swap places. Jason goes to hell, Etrigan comes to Earth, basically.
What, and Jason just like sits around and
chills.
Waits? Just chills.
Chills.
Avoids
fire.
Avoids fire. Oh, he goes on Tinder. I don't know. Demon Tinder. No, look,
Demon Tinder would be...
He just
hectic.
Hangs. He just hangs. But they can only stay on Earth for a little while. That's what was in the Demon Knights run. But I think that's variable to a degree.
Yeah. And of course, the kind of most besides his yellow skin, the most telltale kind of sign that Etrigan is in a comic is that someone is talking in rhyme.
Talking in rhyme. God, that's easy to do. No, it's not.
Did it make you crazy? Writing six issues of rhyme talking.
You handled it really well. I remember reading the first issue. I was like, why isn't Etrigan rhyming?
Yeah.
And then Etrigan actually addresses the fact he's not feeling up to it.
He's
butthurt.
That's a very poetic word. He's so bored of being around Jason. Like, he rhymes, in my book, he rhymes out of joy in a sense of when Etrigan's Etrigan, he wants to rhyme, right?
Yeah, but he's smiting people.
Yeah, and he's just been around Jason Blood for way too long, and he's just like, I'm so. But it's he's just, he doesn't want to put in his nice. It's like an old relationship. He doesn't want to put in his nice clothes anymore. He doesn't try. So just like, I don't want to rhyme around you. I'm bored. Game over. And you know, there's also a self confidence, not self confidence, because he's a demon, but he's had a few knocks in the story as well. Like he's had a few things go wrong in hell, and so he's just not himself, basically. Not that far from himself, but he's not spotlight, singer song, guitar solo. Etrigan. More like, you know, sleepy Etrigan.
So then in your comic, everything gets laid to waste and our characters go to hell.
Hell comes to Earth.
That's right. Sorry, of course.
Yes.
Hell is Earth.
Hell is Earth. catchy pun.
and that's when Etrigan gets his mojo back, basically.
Yeah. He goes on a 6-issue
family reunion.
It's very open. No, it's not open at all. You know, discovering yourself through the power of conversation.
Recommending books.
Growing tomatoes.
Growing tomatoes. I haven't seen that show in years. I have no idea what it is now.
It doesn't exist.
Really?
Talking about Oprah's life.
She made enough money.
Really? What did she... This is really the most off-topic conversation. What
does
Oprah
Halloween, doing? Everybody. What does Oprah do?
I genuinely listened to something where they were talking about Oprah's daily routine. So what? I know Oprah's daily
but
routine
she doesn't
now.
Have a television show now, though.
No, no. She still has a magazine, and she has like a multi sort of...
Yeah.
Massive company.
Yep.
She has a channel. She has a whole channel. She has the whole channel.
She just produces content for that.
I think so, yeah.
Does she vlog?
But I think she mostly just gardens.
Gardens.
Which is what I would do if I was Oprah.
How old is Oprah now?
She is 64.
Well done.
I'm accidentally full of Oprah facts today.
This is the coolest Halloween show of all time, guys. Well, no, Oprah Halloween.
That was my Halloween costume. No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Just go with one of her tomatoes. Look, I know you're about to ask, what were we talking about? I don't know either.
No,
okay,
not.
So how hard did you find it to figure out the rhymes? And does he rhyme in couplets? What's the rhyming scheme?
Just
for
couplets.
Etrigan. Just couplets.
No stanzas. No complex patterns. No iambic pentameter. I'm not doing it.
some writers do take liberties with the structure of the way he rhymes, and some writers are good at it. Some of them, it's like, oh no, the rhythm isn't there. You got good rhythm in yours.
I think Etrigan is a difficult character because so often you'll open an Etrigan comic and you're like, oh, this is so annoying. But you managed to make the rhyming not annoying somehow.
Well,
I don't really understand why.
I think part of the thing with the rhyming as well is if you put large chunks of rhyming in a panel as well, it becomes work. So if you space it out across a few panels, a few pages, they're like, here's two lines, here's three lines, here's four lines. And then in the big moments there, you have him throw down quite a lot of rhymes. You're building up. And the whole book was about building up to him rhyming properly again. Like in the first issue, I think he rhymes once or twice. Second issue, same. Third issue, a little bit more. Fourth issue, but by issue 5, he's almost completely there.
Mm-hmm.
And issue 6, he's just like a rhyming hell demon again.
Yeah.
And he's so much fun. And I do a few crazy things in issue 6, which, you know, which is very in keeping with the book as well. And it's and the rhyming, it works really. I think it. God, that sounds egotistical. Well, I hope it works really well.
You tell me what to say and I'll say it about your book.
I was like, would you like a resume right now? Sure, write it and I'll sign it. Cool.
So I think one of my favorite appearances of Etrigan is in Gail Simone's Secret Six run.
Yep.
When they go down to hell to save
Scandal
Savage's girlfriend, I think it is.
Yeah.
And he's there as like their guide.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the first times like I was like, oh no, I love the rhyming now.
Yeah.
Because Gail did a really good job of making it really amusing. And
you really have to spend some time with the rhyming as well. Like it's an extra.
It's tricky to rock a rhyme. As someone once said,
not naming names. No, it's really it doubles the time to write a page, basically, which is fine because it's Etrigan. Like I remember when I got the job, I'm like, yes, I'm doing Etrigan, and then it was like, oh no, I've got to rhyme like Etrigan does, and you just start to, like, I always had the plan to make him rhyme more and more as issues go on, right? That was always the deal. But you don't want to stuff up those rhymes at all because, you know, if you stuff... It's like stuffing up Batman's voice. If you get it wrong, you get it wrong.
If you have Batman say something, something, man, the internet will rip you to shreds for
just like
2 weeks before they forget.
Like, you can just see it. Like, someone writes saying, Batman comes down, like, cloaked, and first word he says is, g'day, mate. Like, you know,
what's up?
What's up?
I'm Batman.
What's up? Yeah.
That's my Batman script.
What's up, I'm Batman.
What's up, I'm Batman.
So did you...
He's vlogging.
Did you...
Welcome to my Bat vlog.
Did you pitch this to DC? Was this a story that you had in mind and then you pitched it?
I pitched it to DC. I made some variations because of notes, but it was a really nice process as well. Like, you know, But yeah, I pitched it and I got to write it, and yeah, it was just lovely to write a character which I never thought I'd get a chance to write. Like, Etrigan is not a character which is seen around much, but when he is, everyone loves seeing him again. But he's not like, it's not like the big three or something like that, where there's always a continual story going on. So just getting that chance to go, here you go, Etrigan, like, yes.
Yeah, he's like below Swamp Thing but above the Prowler.
Okay.
Well, no, the Prowler. Okay. Sorry. The Creeper.
The creeper.
I love the Creeper. Oh, I've got a Creeper pitch. Ah, oh, I love that one. I love all the DC horror characters. There's quite a few of them when you start. And also the supernatural ones as well. Like Creeper.
To use Madame Xanadu. That was really cool.
Yeah. She was actually harder to write than what I thought.
Mm.
Because she's, like, all those characters, they're all a similar type. They're the ageless and mortal characters. So they all have a similar voice, but also has to be different as well. So you've got Merlin, Xanadu, Etrigan, and they're all, and they all, you know, they inhabit a sort of template, a similar template. So making sure they all got the correct voice down. Like, Etrigan's easy because he's just, like, you know, evil.
Yeah.
Fun evil. Like
fun evil, yeah.
Yeah, fun evil. That's a good, chaotic evil, if you're going to play D&D, which is great. Love the game. I do. I still play it.
I've been surrounded by people playing it nonstop over the last 3 weeks, 3 days at PAX.
Are they playing Ravenloft though? Like, if you're going to do,
there's just playing every variation of D&D you can imagine at all times. It was insane.
Do they still do campaigns in D&D? Like, do you still
I've
have?
I've got no idea. It's like
it's always seemed like far too much work for me.
Yes, but no. Mm. Like, you know,
oh, right.
Like, it's like, you know, that's why kids now play Witcher instead. Like, you know, because you can go online, it's all done for you. You get to role play without rolling dice and going, let me just do the calculation here. But I still love, like, you know, five guys in a room, or now it's not just five guys. It's, you know, it's everyone now gets...
Girls plays too.
It. Yeah, which is nice.
Sometimes girls.
Oh, so much better. Just like, just smelly dudes all the time. it's good fun, but yeah, it just takes a... You don't have a short D&D game. You have a D&D game. It goes until it finishes, basically.
Mm.
And sometimes that can take weeks, I learned.
Look, if you want it to, be my guest. Like, you know, I always like the horror games. So, like, Call of Cthulhu was a great game. The Lovecraft game, that was great.
Spooky stuff.
Yeah.
So, the Etrigan Hell is Earth trade comes out this week.
This week?
Yes.
You're going to be signing.
I will be here. I will be signing. I'll be doing all the stuff.
On Thursday.
Thursday. So if you're in Sydney,
5:30
tomorrow
till 8.
Yep,
this Thursday, 5 till 8 at King's Comics, 403 George Street.
Nice,
excellent.
And yeah, that is the demon Hell is Earth.
Yep.
Written by Andrew Constant, art by Brad Walker. Who did colors in that one?
Hennessy, I believe. Colors.
Yep.
So that was a great job. Too. It was very.
Oh no, sorry. Sorry, Maya does it.
Yep.
And did an extraordinary job. Like, awesome. Really, really good.
And we are going to talk about some other spooky comics, because Siobhan wrote a pretty awesome guide on.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
King's
my top 10. My top 10.
Andrew, you've actually written a bunch of... horror-ish, spooky comics. You're currently also writing Kid Phantom, which is not a...
not a spooky
not
comic
a spooky
at all.
Spooky.
Yeah, look, I started off doing spooky comics, basically. My first comic book was Torn, a story of a wolf that's turned into a man. And, No, that was really, really hard. Your first comic book should always make you cry and die, and that's and that's what happened with that book. It's basically a reverse whale story. From then I went on and I did another horror book called Broken Line. I did like a horror YA book called Fly, and then I did some other stuff as well.
I have all these.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah, I think I bought them all from you at cons over the years.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so terrible.
They're good. Just have them on the shelf. I don't think we do, actually. I think they're all sold out.
Yeah.
Which is a good sign.
It's Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. So, yeah, I really cut my teeth in horror as well. It's just a fun genre to write in. Like, you know, it gives you a nice... If you're starting off, like they always say, if you're going to write genre, do horror or noir, because it's a strong... framework basically to start within.
Yeah, and it's a different like comparison point when you think about like the most popular horror movies are often silent slasher killing his way through talkative teens. But that doesn't really translate to comics very well. So no. Horror comics are always much more literary than you would expect.
Like I think there's a real intelligence world to good horror. Like it's about taking something familiar and making it terrifying, which is always like, you know, that's the most terrifying thing. Like, think of clowns, think of parents going insane. Like, taking what we accept to be fine every day and destroying that is always most terrifying. That's why zombies are so terrifying as well, because the idea of death is fait accompli. Like, you know, no one ever comes back, and the fact they can rise up is
horrible.
Yes, thank you. That's the word.
So let's go through Siobhan's top 10 horror comics.
Okay. And, this is not in any kind of
Feel free to
order.
Jump in if you have ones that sound like it or are better.
I will offer constructive opinion.
Excellent. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, so this is not in order of best or anything. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Have you read that?
No.
It's good. It's horrible.
It's excellent.
It's really horrifying.
It's really, it's proper spooky. And this is like Afterlife with Archie was a great fun zombie romp book that was written by...
Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who's also he's the writer of Riverdale. He's writing Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. He's basically responsible for all of the weird shit that Archie have done in the last like five
I love
years.
Weird shit.
Yeah, same.
And Sabrina is like a Lovecraftian horror book.
I must pick that up.
You must.
It's so good. Where her aunts are genuine witches who sacrifice the residents of... Riverdale frequently.
Oh, I
not
like
Riverdale.
That.
Wait, they don't live in Riverdale. Though,
I can't remember where it is.
You're meant to know.
Yeah, I know. Shut up.
But you've also got Mumbrain, so you know.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Mumbrain's
eternal
real.
Excuse.
This most scariest monster of all.
And Robert Hack does the art, and it's very, like gorgeous 1960s, but then Lovecraft.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, it looks like the cover of a Choose Your Own Adventure book from the 60s.
Oh, that's hot.
Yeah.
Okay, next, Gideon Falls. Have you heard of Gideon Falls?
I picked up the first issue and I really enjoyed it.
That's very weird. It's very...
Is it new weird? Is it like, you know, China Mayville and all those guys?
I have no idea what that means.
That's okay.
I assume it's because I'm too young and amazing.
But at this point, we just realized that Andrew Constant is incredibly old.
But it's sort of a... halfway between like a haunted house and a psychological horror, I would say, because there is a spooky haunted black barn that appears every couple of years.
You're just going to... we're recording in King's Day, so clearly I'm going to get out my wallet after this and just start buying stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But that first trade, which is just out now through Image,
right?
Written by Jeff Lemire with art by frequent collaborator...
Andrea Sorrentini.
That's the one?
Sorrentino.
Just to point out, Image does really, really diverse books, and part of that is they do really, really good horror books as well.
Yeah, especially recently. There's some great, very diverse takes on horror.
Absolutely.
Coming out from them recently. I assume Redlands is going to show up on this list.
Oh, no.
Okay, cool. Well, that's excellent.
Redlands is excellent.
One, Redlands? Jordi Belair's witch book.
Oh, okay.
That one's awesome.
I keep on thinking of Fatale as well. Fatale?
Yeah. Fatale.
Another Fatale's Lovecraftian good. Influence book by Brubaker and Phillips.
Excellent.
Very recently was Infidel. Which was...
Infidel's also on my list.
Okay, we'll talk about that when we get to it.
Cool, cool.
My Pretty Vampire. Have you heard of My Pretty Vampire?
No, I haven't.
So My Pretty Vampire is by Katie Skelly, who she's like an indie comics sort of star. She did one called Nurse Nurse. That's probably her most long-running one. But it's sort of her homage to like 1970s erotic vampire movies.
Right, so like Lesbos Vampiros, that sort of stuff?
Exactly.
Okay.
So like
Saturday night on SBS fodder.
Exactly.
SBS, that was a weird period of my life when I was younger.
We all had it. But it's really, really gorgeous, really like fashionable and like beautiful bright poppy colors.
Oh, excellent.
And I really love that one. Are you familiar with Junji Ito?
At which point I was just starting to sound ignorant, no?
So Junji Ito is a Japanese horror manga creator. Oh, okay. He did Uzumaki is probably his most famous one. But he's recently, we've got his adaptation of Frankenstein in.
Oh, I think we
look at how
here.
Spooky this Frankenstein is. Look at that picture.
Listen to that picture, everybody.
It's really horrible.
I'm actually doing a Frankenstein piece right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Like you're writing something?
You're creating a monster.
I am Frankenstein's monster. It's really it's a really fun character to do to do the monster. I mean,
so Junji Ito, I know, is a legend in the body horror kind of genre.
Yes, so I think he's really well suited to doing something like Frankenstein, which is kind of the first body horror. It's the first horror. It's the first body horror.
It's really bizarre when you start dismantling horror as well and really looking at it. It's interesting how every nation has its own flavor of horror as well. Like Japan is body horror, and it's got a real sense of tension and spirit horror as well. America really takes on the ideas of, like, you know, high school horror and also, you
haunted
know,
houses, I would say, is very American.
And Australia's always, always invariably about how terrifying and vast our landscape is. Yeah. Like, it's always about, like, you could almost position Mad Max as a horror film sometimes.
Sure.
Like, you know, like, it is hyper real. It kind of disturbing as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's always fascinating me how horror is always really linked to place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always about, you know, and, you know, I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, I've always found Australia to be like a very spooky, haunted place. Do you know what I mean? Like, especially when you're out in the bush and like the landscape, it's very...
Well, I'm about to move to Twin Peaks country as well. I'm going up to the Blue Mountains.
I love the Blue Mountains.
It's very cool.
But it's also very spooky and haunted.
Yes. Very, very cold. I'm going to get a great greyhound and just call it Terra.
Oh, lovely.
And, yeah, it's cool.
So next on my list is Monster by Naoki Urasawa. It's like just a long-running serial killer.
Sure.
Really tense. Again, it's a Japanese one, so it's incredibly just tense
I
the whole way through.
I know nothing. Your list clearly points out how little I know.
I'm very smart. it just means I read a lot
awesome.
Of comics. But it's about a doctor who, when he is like a young superstar surgeon, he's the best in the game.
Yep.
And he, a young boy comes into his surgery and he's like, right, I'm going to save this boy. And then the mayor suddenly needs emergency surgery, and everyone's like, you have to save the mayor first. And he's like, no, I have ethics. I'm going to save this child. But then the child grows up to be a serial killer, and the whole book is about him trying to take down the serial killer.
Wow.
It's amazing.
How does professional guilt work? We have a comic book about that.
And then Infidel, we were talking about that one before. So this is...
I've yet to read that.
Oh, it's like an updated haunted house story again.
Wow.
But it's very much dealing with Islamophobia and lots of things like that in sort of current New York.
So white people can't see the ghost is basically like...
And the ghost is fed by xenophobia.
Yeah.
Wow, that is so zeitgeist. It's freakish.
It's brilliantly put together.
Yeah. That's excellent.
It's super tragic. It's like a proper... It doesn't feel like preachy. It just feels like a new take on a story that you are familiar with because you're seeing it from this different point of view.
That sounds excellent.
It actually changes the way you read it.
And that sounds... Did anyone see the vampire film? I believe it's the girl who walks home alone at night.
No, but it's been on my list for like literally years.
That is such a brilliant take on the vampire mythos as well. The same director went on to direct the Bad Batch, but this was her first work. And it's just so incredibly adept.
Mm.
It's a great horror film. And once again, it shows what you can do with just a little bit of cash in horror as well. I saw another film just after that as well called The Eyes of My Mother, which was at the Sydney Film Festival. And it cost $250,000, and it's by far and away one of the best horror films I've seen in the last 10 years. Do it.
Cool.
All right. Next is Ice Cream Man.
Oh,
no, I have not.
Man, this is so great.
I am so down a hole. You guys just need to give me comics every week.
I've chosen some weird ones. Ice Cream Man, I don't even like, it's a hard one to explain.
Well, it's like, I would compare it to Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
So okay.
Every issue is a, you know, so pretty much a one shot.
Okay.
But it's tied together by the story of an ice cream man, his cowboy nemesis.
Yeah, but the ice cream man like will show up and
that's
like
amazing.
And give someone a scoop of like a certain flavor, and then something horrible will happen to that person.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And
wow, that sounds like it's going to make I'm not going to eat
making
ice cream.
A TV show.
He's very present in the first few issues, and then it becomes quite
I wonder what happens if he gives you Neapolitan ice cream.
That has happened.
That's an issue.
Oh, it is. Is it?
Oh my god! And so it happens, right? And then the rest of the issue, it's in three strips. One strip is vanilla. One strip is strawberry. One strip is chocolate. And you see the three different timelines.
That Link sounds so good.
That's probably my favorite issue of the comics so far. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's written by W. Maxwell Prince with art by Martin Marazzo.
Fantastic.
And they're going to be huge in a few years, I reckon. Both of them. They're great.
All right.
Next on my list is Helter Skelter, and I pretty much can't write a list about comic books without including Helter Skelter in it.
Right.
It's one of my favorites. It is a early 2000s underground women's manga. This sort of really, again, body horror, scathing critique on the fashion and beauty industry, where we see like a sort of young, beautiful model who has full body plastic surgery, really.
Wow.
Risky full body plastic surgery. Okay. And as her sort of body and mind start to break down, we see her becoming like more and more unhinged. And
the metaphor is strong with this one.
It's good. Okay. It's very good.
Sounds cool.
I also popped on the current Hulk series, which I'm pretty sure I recommended to you last time you were in.
Okay.
Which is, it's like taking Hulk back to sort of classic horror, very British feeling horror.
Right, okay.
I would say, like sort of mid-90s Vertigo vibes.
I still remember when Peter David did his humongous run on the Hulk that lasted, 10 years?
Yeah, and every year he'd just do a different genre.
And after he did the Pantheon one, which is all about Hulk being a superhero team, he did this small town horror vibe. Mm-hmm. And I think Liam Sharp was the artist back then as well.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
And Liam did such an incredible job. It's still one of the best Hulk horror runs of all time.
So this is
a really good one.
Yeah, it's been written by Al Ewing with art by
Joe Bennett.
Yeah. By Joe Bennett. But this is I really enjoy Al Ewing's superhero books. But this is my favorite thing he's done so far.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I will pick it up then. Thanks, guys. You just made my current trip to your store very expensive.
Yes, please. That's why I do this. And the last one on my list is Beautiful Darkness. It's a pretty weird French one.
The French.
Fabien Velman and the French art duo Carasco.
Keep going.
Anyway, it's a sort of grim. It's like this. It looks like from a distance a beautiful, fairy tale about little woodland creatures. But then you realize that they're all living in a decomposing body of a young girl who's died in the woods, and the whole thing becomes this like really full on fight for survival. So there'll
this
be little
is amazing.
Like, she's having tea with the princess. Will be having tea with a mouse, and then the mouse does something to upset her, and she gouges his eyes out and stuff like that. Like it's really full on. But I recommend it.
Cy Spurrier did something like that a while ago. He did a book about the idea of what fairies life was actually like. They all live in like a ghetto on the ground, mm-hmm, and it's drug based, and there are cops. It's like an inner city drama. It's
but fairies. Yeah. That sounds very Cy Spurrier.
Yeah. He's great. I love his stuff.
Every year when I get asked what's my favorite horror comic, I always recommend Lock and Key by Joe Hill with Gabriel Hernandez.
Look, there's so much great horror out there, especially in the current market as well. It seems to really picked up over the last few years.
Yeah, definitely. But that was like one of the first kind of series that I read, like, you know, in the last, my renaissance as a comic book reader, that like I was like, I didn't think I would like it at first, but that as a month-to-month comic, that was unbelievable to follow.
And he had such a good partnership with Rodriguez as well. Like they did a really strong, like they really complimented each other very well.
Yeah. Real good stuff. Great list, Siobhan.
Thanks. Do you have any good comic horror comic recommendations?
Torn is... you can plug me. I can't
Demon
do it.
Hell is Earth.
Demon Hell is Earth.
It's already on your friends list.
I always blank out because I have read so much horror over time. It's hard to like pull them apart, basically.
What if it gets specific? What's your favorite Vertigo horror book?
You motherfucker. All right, let me have a quick thinking time. I kind of always think of Preach as a horror book. It is pretty horrific.
It is horrible.
so it's like,
I don't like it.
You're not a Garth fan?
I just don't like him. I just don't Garth, like his tone.
Garth is one of my major touchstones of writing as well. Yeah. Because I am of the age to... look, it has to be Hellblazer. Hellblazer, the Jamie Delano stuff, the Garth Ennis stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of spooky. I liked those early issues, especially Delano's, where he's just a fuck-up. Like, he actually is... no part of him is a hero.
I really like how transgressive he is a character. Like, it's interesting, well, in the fact that we always talk about hero comic books, and he's not. He's not. He does good things occasionally, but he's destroyed so many lives throughout the course of it. Andy Diggle did a really good run where he meets his better self, and he just goes, nah, and cuts him away, basically, and chooses to be on the road. And Milligan ended the run with a really dark, with him, like, his old man in the pub, just looking, like, cracked and broken.
So you're like me. Have you read all 300 issues of Hellblazer?
No, yeah. No, I love it. I love the book. I think it's incredible.
Awesome. Well, plenty of great spooky recommendations for you. And if you are in Sydney, make sure you come to King's this Thursday night from 5 till 8.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
403 George Street is where King's is located now, and you'll be able to meet Andrew and get Demon Hell is Earth signed by him.
And I'll smile as well.
And he said he'd talk and rhyme the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
What? I'm going to... Yeah, I would look for... If you kick an extra $5 my way, I'll give you a couplet. It's fine.
Okay, start one. Right? Do a sign-off for us that rhymes serious issues with something.
Hello, welcome to Serious Issues. If you don't come, I'm going to need some tissues.
I love it.
Wow, I do perform for food. This is great.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find us online at facebook.com/group/serious-issues-podcast or support us on Patreon so we can do more interviews like this with creators, because it's something we want to do, over at patreon.com/serious-issues-podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next Halloween.
Ooh.
Bye, guys.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.